Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. I want to thank you for taking time to tune into this Oasis podcast. We're in a series on the love of God, and this is the fourth in a series. And if you haven't heard the first three, you want to go back, you want to hear the foundation that's laid, because I believe today I'm going to get into the purpose of this topic, of this revelation. And so let me open in a word of prayer, and you want to get your Bible, you want to get pen and paper, and we're gonna look at some things that we need to look at. So Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you so much for your presence and your great love. Father, pour out your Spirit upon this time. Grant us revelation so that we would know you and to know your love so that we can walk in love. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want you to go to John chapter 21. In the prior episode, we talked about, you know, Jesus is raised from the dead, and there's Peter, and he's leading, you know, six other disciples off to go back to fishing, and Jesus has to begin this process of bringing them out of wrong thinking to bring them into right thinking, because the cross is important, the resurrection is important, but so are these laborers. Laborers are crucial to the kingdom. And you know what? We need to be asking the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. And so we see in the last episode his intense love for laborers, not just for believers, but for those who are going to carry this message of Jesus Christ, Son of God, to the ends of the earth. And so what he does in our lives and with his love in order to draw us into this servanthood and into this service. And I tell you, I just heard of someone who you know, died, and they never served the Lord in their life, but they came to the Lord at the end, and they died, right? And I'm thinking, you know, I'm so humbled and fortunate that with my life on the earth, that I've been able to love the Lord and to endeavor to be a disciple and to go and to tell people about the King on the earth. But for some people, God in his wonderful mercy, they die, they get to go to heaven because of faith, and they are discipled on that side. And it's just God's wonderful mercy. But the only reason, you know, it's the love of God that I answered. I fell in love with God, and I know he loves me. And so, very powerful. So if you're listening to this broadcast, you're alive, and learn to be a disciple on this side of heaven. There's great reward in being a disciple on this side and then telling people about the King. And then one day you're going to get to go to that side, and it's going to be worth it. Now, so where we left off on the last podcast, and you want to hear it, is that Jesus now, he's serving these apostles, these disciples, and he's giving them bread and food. Now, I believe what I'm going to read you now is the purpose for this series on the love of God. Let's go to Scripture. Verse 15, John 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus says to Simon Peter. Now remember, Peter, he knows he's denied the Lord. The condemnation, the confusion, the feeling, I've really fallen from grace. I'm going to go back to being a fisherman. Jesus can't use me. It's that kind of mentality. Now watch on how the Lord begins working with Peter. Peter, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? Why does he say that? Because Peter had a, I believe, in his heart, a certain mentality, maybe a little bit of pride, where I love you the most, Jesus. I'm going to be the leader. I'm going to be the greatest. And I'm going to help lead these other disciples to follow you. I know that I love you more than they love you. So Jesus asked him, Simon, who just denied me three times, a person that I've been praying for your faith, do you love me more than these? He says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. So then Jesus said, well, feed my lambs. Now, we got to pause here. There is so much in that verse. Let's go slow. In the Greek, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me with the agape love that places a value on me, that you're willing to give everything for me in order to give me value in your life? A love that gives value. And do you have this kind of love more than these other guys? Go slow. Jesus says, agape. Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. You know that I really like you. Jesus listens. Jesus said, agape. Peter says, phileo. Then he says, feed my lambs. Now, what he says here is, Peter, what's coming in front of you is the book of Acts. And a lot of people say the book of Acts is about the power of the Holy Spirit. And yes, it is, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. But really, what is it? It's the body of Christ. It's the lambs. It's those precious, fragile creatures called lambs, that they're not a full-grown ram. They're a lamb. You have to be gentle with them. And Jesus says, listen what he says. He says, they're mine. And I want you to feed them. I want you to acknowledge how special, you have to be gentle with them. They're lambs. They're not full-grown sheep or rams. They're lambs, and they're mine. And if they're mine, you better be listening to understand what I'm saying to you about love. Jesus says to him again, verse 16, Simon, son of Jonah, do you agape me? Do you love me with that love that places value? He says to him, yes, Lord, you know that I agape you. Jesus said, well, feed my sheep. Now they're sheep. Lambs, now they're sheep. And then he says to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, now listen to this. Simon, do you phileo me? Peter was grieved because he said the third time, phileo thou me. Do you love me with the love that is the love of a sports team that has, that they love each other because they have a common goal? Is that the kind of love that you have for me? And so Peter was upset. And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I phileo you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Now listen to this next one. Truly, truly, I am saying to you, Peter, when you were young, you gird yourself and you walked where you wanted to. But when you shall be old, you shall stretch forth your hands. Another shall gird thee and carry you where you wouldn't go on your own. Now remember that, where you wouldn't go on your own. This spake he, signifying by what death he was going to glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Now, Jesus wasn't getting into Peter, do you love me more or not? He was confronting Peter's wrong thinking. Sometimes we get a lot of emotional thinking, and Jesus has to sober us. And so Jesus begins this whole process of the word agape and contrasting it to Peter's understanding of love, which was phileo. And so when Jesus gets done with the love, the questioning on love, and the feeding of my lambs, the feeding of my sheep, then he prophesies to him. He says, Peter, when you were young, you went where you wanted to. You put your own clothes on, etc. But when you're older, another is going to take hold of you, and you're going to go where you wouldn't go. Now, there's a lot in this. We understand when we get to 1 Peter and he talks about pretending phileo love and fervent agape love, that we in the body of Christ, we have to be people of phileo love and of agape love. We have works and we have a vision. That demands phileo love. We are a team, and we've got to get the gospel to the ends of the earth. But in that, even though we have an unfeigned phileo love, then we've got to go even deeper with an agape love of each other. And so Peter, at the end of his life, when he's writing the book of 1 Peter, 2 Peter, he understands this now. He's an older man. He's been through some things. And he understands the difference between these loves. And he's telling the church, you must have both. Now, Peter's an interesting guy because Paul, in his writings, called Peter, what? The apostle to the Jews, right? And Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. And Peter was very Jewish. He wasn't highly educated like Paul was, but he was very Jewish. And, you know, he definitely had his views of the Romans. So here is Peter, and a Jew of Jews. One day he's up on the housetop. He's hungry, and he's up there, you know, waiting for lunch. But there, all the way down in Caesarea, there is a Roman Gentile who has a visitation from an angel concerning salvation and concerning God's plan to open a new door to a whole new flock of sheep. They're not Jewish sheep. They're Gentiles, and they're Romans. And so here's Cornelius the centurion is sending men by revelation over to where Peter is. Peter doesn't know anything that's happening. He doesn't know that Cornelius met an angel. He doesn't know that men are coming his way. But all of a sudden, he has a vision. In the vision, he sees the sheet come down, and there's a bunch of food in there, and the word of the Lord is rise and eat. And of course, he's like, I'm a Jew, and I don't eat that food. And then Jesus says, don't call unclean what I have cleansed, meaning the depth and the power of the cross to cleanse all men. And then the Lord says, listen, there's some men down there that are coming. They're coming for you. There was a word of wisdom. Arise and go with them and don't be afraid. Now, this is huge because now Peter is remembering back to being in a boat in a storm-tossed sea, and there's Jesus walking on the water, and Peter goes, hey, if it's you, tell me to get out of the boat, and I'll walk on the water too. And he got out, got afraid, and he sunk. Peter now is in the same situation. You're going to go to the Gentiles. That is just as big as walking on storm-tossed water to a Jew. And so then the Lord speaks, don't be afraid. And I really believe that the gift of faith was imparted into Peter at this moment in order to empower him to move in a direction with the assurance of God. Because now Peter is crossing these social, political, geographical, national, racial lines, and he's going to go to the enemy because God, in his love, it's for all men. God had no problem with Cornelius being a Gentile and a Roman. He saw a man's heart, and Peter was going to have to learn this. Now, so here is Peter for the first time beginning to go where he would never go, beginning to love someone he was never really trying to love, okay? And now he's coming face to face with the need to walk in the love of God. As Peter begins to live his life, he's the apostle to the Gentiles. To the Jews. He's not to the Gentiles. Let me correct that. He's the apostle to the Jews. But in the end of his life, he finds himself in Rome. And in Rome, according to tradition, they crucified him. And they crucified him upside down. Jesus said, Peter, you're going to have to understand my love if you're going to finish your calling. Because in order to go where you're going to go, you're going to have to trust my love for you. Whew. How does a man give his life as a martyr? By love. By loving the Lord. And in that love, to give the most precious thing that you can give, your life. The reason I really want to share these four episodes on the love of God is I want to say you're not going to finish your plan, the call of God on your life, without growing in love. I have grown up in church. I grew up in charismatic renewal. I have seen and been in such powerful services where the glory of God like a cloud. But I've also seen, as time goes on, that a lot of these ministers that I grew up and received so much from, that there was a problem. They understood faith, but they didn't understand love. And today, many of them are no longer there, or they are still ministering. You just never hear of them anymore. I remember years ago, there was a ministry that I had been very impacted by. And as I was pressing into the calling and the direction of God, I had time and I went to a certain city and where that ministry was, a ministry that had deeply touched me. God had used that ministry in such a wonderful way to have an impact on my life that I'm still living in. And I received that from the Lord and from that ministry. But that ministry began to challenge a lot of the social evils of the city they were in, which I don't have a problem with, but here's the problem. if you declare war on society and your staff and your church are not founded strong in the love of God, when the backlash of society and the world comes, then what will happen? If you don't have the fortitude of love, then you will go into fear. And when you go into fear, then you go into control. Because your love isn't working to do that, you will rely on fear and control to somehow protect you from the world that you declared war on. And so that's why the Bible says before you go and declare war, you better make sure you have the resources to win the battle. And a lot of times when ministers are evangelists, they have this something in us as evangelists that want to declare war. We want to put on the suit of armor and go into conquest. And it's a wonderful God trait that God gives us. But I tell you, if you don't ground yourself in love, you will end up going into fear and then end up going into control. And I'm 57 years old, and I have seen this over and over as a trait that I see that happens to ministers who walk into a wonderful anointing. It's a wonderful thing to sense God on you, but love is still the commandment. God does not anoint you to do your own thing. He anoints you, anoints me, to feed his sheep. And a lot of times men burn out in ministry because it becomes about ministry, and they begin to weaken in love. Why do you get up and preach on a Sunday to those people? Because you love them. Because you love them. Because you spend time praying for them. Because you take their needs before the Father to the place where his love comes in and separates you from the craziness of people, and you begin to have a compassion for the people, and you begin to love them in prayer until messages begin to come from heaven that actually feed them, actually minister to them. Well, in the story I'm telling you, I went to a meeting, and not to go into the details of the meeting, but I bumped into such fear and control. There was still a powerful anointing, but now around the circumference of that ministry was now the encroachment of fear and control. And then the Lord spoke to me. He said, if you don't learn to walk in love now, you will never finish your calling. And that was it. Now, was he comparing what he said to what I was seeing in that ministry? I don't know. I'm not that ministry's judge. I knew some things going on, but I'm not their judge. But I am my judge. I know what he said to me, and I know I had to separate myself and go a different direction, because how I saw that ministry maybe was affecting me. Maybe I was misapplying what I saw. I don't know. I'm not a judge. But I do know the Lord spoke to me, and I'm accountable for that, to walk in love, to learn the love of God. And so that's why I want to do this podcast. I'm doing it for me, doing it for you. Jesus is coming. We're going to stand in his presence. And you're going to stand in the very presence of love himself. But love's eyes are full of fire. And when he looks at us, you're going to know it. And so right now, the most important thing we could ever do is understand how to be patient and kind and strong and to walk in love. Listen, I pray in Jesus' name, Heavenly Father, that those that have listened to these podcasts, that you will have put a seed in them, and that the seed will grow in the love of God. And I thank you for it, in Jesus' name. Now go to our website at www.4smiles.com. There's a button that says give. If you would pray and sow a seed and stand with us in getting the smile of God's love planted in the nations, we'd be so thankful. God's going to bless you for it. And listen, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.